Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
Hey everyone, Sean here from Fable and Folly.
And it's Eli from Fable and Folly.
And it's been a while.
It has.
So today's episode is brought to us because of the support of an amazing sponsor, AWeber, which we'll talk about at some point. But we're actually really excited to do this. It's basically to do a little behind-the-scenes episode about Fable and Folly and creating Alba Salix. And also talk to you about where things are at and what's going on. So without further ado, let's get right into it. So Eli, I thought we'd start by just letting people know where things are at. We've done a couple updates on the feed.
Yeah, because we are currently just sort of in a holding pattern to figure out when we can record season 3 of Alba Salix safely with our cast. We prefer to do our recording in person for a lot of reasons.
Mostly because most of our casts are Luddites and can't figure out technology.
With a few exceptions. There is that. But getting like microphones to match when they're all home recorded is such a chore. And you get the energy in the room and performers can bounce off each other and kind of reach the same energy level.
And we were actually moving towards recording. So high level, we have scripts. We have worked with some amazing writers. We are so excited to unveil to everyone and share what's happened. And Eli is also writing, just like previous seasons. And we were fully written, and we actually went towards some studios here in Hamilton, and the cast had agreed during, because we had just come out of lockdown up here in Canada, and the cast had agreed they were willing with safety protocols.
Yeah, we're talking back in the fall of 2020.
And we were like about to put money down on the studio, and it all hit, and things got worse, and we went into lockdown. We've been in lockdown after lockdown after lockdown up here. So that basically put everything on hold. We are now at the point where our government has finally started to roll things out. I've got my appointment for my first shot. I don't think I get my second shot till August or something, but it's starting.
Yeah.
And some of our cast have been able to get their shots now and more are at least getting scheduled. So bad news is I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow. Good news is we're moving towards a period here where I think we can bring everyone together and record again.
Yeah. And I'm thinking it might be possible to do some bonuses in the meantime as well with like a few of the cast at a time.
Yeah, which is what we did.
As vaccinations permit.
Yeah, which is what we did with the series we dropped around the fun. When was that? When were those little series we put out that? We had writers write.
Sometime last year.
Yeah. So we are working on some ideas. We have more. But this is an interesting thing to bring up, right? Like we rely on the support of our fans and our listeners. And this has thrown a big wrench into everything.
Mm-hmm. We like to be able to offer you things to listen to. It's nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, what's it been like for you, Eli? Like, what's it like, you know, not being able to work on Alba, really? Like, for the last 9 months.
Yeah, well, it's not like I'm lacking for other stuff to do. You're still recording Civilized.
True.
That's recorded remotely over Zoom, which is not the ideal way to do it, especially for an improvised show. But That keeps me plenty busy. Unwell, season three is ongoing, and we're on our mid-season hiatus, and that gearing up for the second half of the season. So that's also keeping me busy.
But what's it feel like not being able to work on it? Because we were so close. Like, we had writer room. We felt like there was momentum.
It is frustrating. And, yeah, I keep having ideas and then just sort of putting them away again. Yeah.
And I think what was interesting is this season we decided, and we've talked about this before, we decided to bring together a writer's room and bring in some writers that we adore.
They're
from
fantastic.
Other shows.
Fantastic. Jordan.
Jordan Cobb.
Bilal, who Dardai. Has worked on Unwell, and Jen Sugden from Victoriosity are our team this season. And they've turned in some phenomenal scripts. Like, they've taken it to places that, like, I wouldn't have dared to go. like emotional places and...
Oh, yeah. Get ready,
like,
everyone.
Like, jumping into... I won't give any spoilers for next season, but
we had this momentum. Yeah. Like, we had this, yeah. Like, we were like, hey, why didn't we do this before? Like, the scripts are moving. We're back on. We're going to start recording ahead of schedule.
Yep.
And then it all just was halted by this
second and third wave.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know. For me, it was frustrating. And then it got this weird, it became this weird thing, right? It became this, like, I don't know. It started to feel surreal. Like, we had this thing that was, like, almost ready to go into production. And then, I don't know. It feels like a dream, right? You know what I mean? Like,
much like the rest of the past 12-ish
like,
months.
Like, is it written? Maybe it's not. Maybe we don't have a writer's room.
My
Maybe
God,
this
yeah,
was all a dream.
We've should we talk about ADHD?
Oh yeah. So Eli and I within
the last week have both been diagnosed with ADHD and prescribed meds.
Not a surprise for anyone who knows us, but
yeah, I didn't think it was true. I thought it might be just COVID stress, but you know, the friends were nudging me to check it out, and the more I traced my history back through, like, university and, you know, why was I jumping majors four times? And yeah,
I was getting assessed, and I was like, everything was like, I wanted to laugh or cry with every question that was asked.
Yeah. And what was it? Do you have trouble waiting your turn? Was a question.
Anyone who knows me, that's just an hysterical question to ask me. And I think I cut her off when she was trying to ask me the question, cause I figured out what she was asking. So there was a moment where she said, I was asked, our doctor is she. So she asked me, do you ever need to stand up in a meeting where you're expected to be sitting? And I was like, no, I'm a no on that. I'm good on that one.
I've had coworkers who couldn't.
But I was like, I'm good on this one. I don't have that. And then I guess she heard me open a cupboard in the kitchen. She's like, are you walking around right now? And I was like, oh yeah, because I'm on the phone. I have to walk around.
Any Sean phone call involves Sean walking out the front door, walking back in the front door, through the house, out the back door, around the yard, in the back door. Yeah.
So I was like, I didn't even understand. I was just like, yeah, of course I'm walking around. I'm on the phone. And there was a pause and I heard a scribbling of a pen. And she went, moving on to the next one. I'm like, oh. Yeah, so we got diagnosed. So that's actually been amazing. But
yeah,
but
it's been good to realize that the thought patterns that we've both kind of lived with for our many, many years together, and just not put two and two together. And I think it's made us, the whole process of discovery has made us much more forgiving of each other and much more aware of each other's patterns and giving each other the space for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're working together even better as a team than we ever have.
Yeah. But it was amazing how far we'd gotten on Alba. So with our coping mechanisms and whatever. And so everything was put on hold. We are approaching a date when we think we're going to take it off hold. So that is coming, and I like your idea. Maybe once we get some people with first shots, maybe we can do some, that'll be fun.
Thing is, we don't know who it's going to be, so we can't quite write ahead of time.
Well, let's do a sketch for whoever gets first shots. Okay, yep. We'll make it a competition.
I like that.
Because they all want to. They're like, when do we get to record? I'm like, well, first person with a shot.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Okay, so I want to talk about like how we communicate with our fans as well. So as podcasters, we have the ability to do this, to drop an episode. But it's a lot of work to drop an episode. And if you're a fan, I don't know what it's like. Well, this would be interesting. You can tell us. This just happened to you. What's it like to hear an episode that's not the episode of the show, right? So the mechanism we have to communicate with our fans and our listeners is the feed, this podcast feed, to put out a piece of audio. And I think as a podcaster, we love the medium. We love how intimate this medium can be and what we can do with it in fiction. But I think it was like when we were really starting to grow Alba and we launched Axe and Crown and we were still really trying to take this seriously, I started to realize that we didn't have a lot of ways to actually reach our listeners. It was just this, right? So if like, if there's a conference coming up, we have to have an episode that's dropping so we can tell everyone, right? And then it's in there forever. It doesn't make any sense. People 3 years from now listening to episodes are like, why are they talking about PodCon in 2019?
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. And like our modern system, now that we are the Fable and Folly Network, does allow us to drop things and then take them out when they're no longer.
Right. So we went to that step. We were like, okay, let's have DAI and we can put in announcements where they make
dynamic
sense.
Dynamic ad insertion.
or just spots. So, but yeah, so then we went to that. But then the same thing started to happen where it's, basically what happened is I went to Podcast Movement in 2020, late in 2020, early in 2020, right
spring
before
2020, yeah.
Right before this all happened. And I bumped into Chris Vasquez and it was life-changing. And Chris asked me a simple question. He's now head of product, I think, at AWeber. And we were hanging out a lot. He's a super cool guy, loves fiction and wants to support fiction. And he asked me, do you have a newsletter? And I was like, no. But like Sean as a blogger, I had a newsletter. Sean as a photographer, I had a newsletter.
We had a mailing list, but we never did a whole lot with it.
So what I told him is I had a list that was dead. I had a list that had like 50 or 60 names on it that we never sent out. It was dead. It's called a dead list, right? So I said, we try, but no. And then with Fable and Folly Network, I started to realize none of the podcasts have a newsletter. None of them have a mailing list. Like less than, I think it was like more than 80% of the shows that join our network do not have a newsletter, an active newsletter. So what happened for us was Patreon. Like I started to realize that we can't communicate. Not only do we not have a lot of channels to communicate with our listeners, except this way, I thought when we were posting all these messages to Patreon that everyone was seeing them.
No, you can turn that off so easily.
And then I started to realize that people were never responding. I'd send them messages when they would like, because these are people who are saying, hey, we want to support you. And
yeah,
so I'd be like, thank you.
We need to read their name in the credits. How do you pronounce your name? And you drop them a message and it would they wouldn't be checking their Patreon. So they just would never see it.
Yeah. Like, so I once had someone get back to me 9 months later. I was like, oh, sorry, here's how you pronounce your name. Then, no, they said, oh, sorry, but you pronounced it great. Like, because you're so good at names.
Did I? Yeah. Or are you just being nice? I hope you're being, yeah.
Yeah. And so that was sort of the moment for me where I was like, I think we do need a newsletter. We need a way to communicate with people to say, hey, this is when we're coming back, or here's another great show that we want to support, right, that's launching, or those kind of things. And I had, I don't know. I guess I'd never really. It's funny. Like if you had asked me as a photographer or me as any of my past businesses where I was doing marketing and whatever for the business, I'd be like, of course we have an email mailing list. But as a podcast, I think it's one of those things that quickly doesn't get any attention, right?
Yeah, there are so many things with any pursuit. I always think of it as that, like, there's the core stuff that you really want to get into. You know, like, for me, it's like the sound design and the writing. I love that stuff. But there are so many other parts that are involved in mastering the episodes and putting them out there and putting it on social media and keeping in touch with fans, all of that.
And it seems daunting. Like, I know when we first started our first newsletter before I met Chris Vasquez, before we went to AWeber, we were always putting together these big, long emails. Like, you had to write them and you had to come up with the content, and it was exhausting. And so what happened is we just stopped sending them.
Yeah.
And so the thing I love the most, and again, you can do this with a lot of different email platforms, but the thing I love the most about AWeber is we use tag-based automation. So if any of you listening have recently signed up to be a patron, thank you, or even in the past, but you may have joined before we were doing this. When I try now to get people their perks, like how to access their perks, as quickly as possible. And I do that by just putting a tag on them in AWeber. I'm like, you're tagged for whatever level of patron you are. And I don't do anything else. Like, it literally sends them, it sends our supporter like one email on how to access their perks and the Discord, how to get to their special RSS feed with everything. There's a follow-up email that goes out 2 days later to let them know about something. Like, it's just all happens. And that saves time, right? Because we don't have a lot of time, right?
Like, no.
We're doing all of this on the side, right? Like, we're doing all this as like a, it's our side hustle, right?
Yeah.
To launch Alba and all these shows.
Because you're working full time.
Yeah. And, well, and people may not know, more and more, Eli is now more and more full time just doing audio, thanks to all our supporters and everything we've been able to do. So, yeah. So I think that I know when I talk to a lot of creators out there, you don't have to be using podcasting. I often find they see email newsletter as this onerous big thing that never gets done and it slowly dies, right? Or it's a thing they have to write every Wednesday. And I'm like, no, like, you can also use automation just to let people know, you know, whenever they sign up to your list, you can have them automatically get a couple emails that go out, right, about what you sell or create or whatever. So that has been a lifesaver for me because I end up doing all the admin. I don't know if everybody knows. Eli does not do the admin stuff.
No. I'm intensely grateful for that.
So before, I was typing all these messages constantly into Patreon and nobody was getting them. And so now I'm like, hey, AWeber, got a new supporter. And then it all just happens. And what's cool is people hit reply. Like, I get replies now. People are like, thank you so much for the email, or here's how to say my name, or whatever we ask them. Because now they can just hit reply in the email. Mm-hmm. It works so much better. So, Eli, you have a rule now, right? Which is, right, we started ABBA how long ago? What year was it?
We started writing it 10 years ago and launched the first episode in 2014.
And so after, then we started working on a two-hander that became a three-hander. It was just going to be a three-hander, Axe and Crown. We're going to put it out fast because ABBA was taking off. That became a full cast show. So that was the Axe and Crown. Mm-hmm. We put out the Axe and Crown. People seemed to like it. Great. Then I wanted to start a improvised live play that was in the world of Alba. Right. So we launched that show, The End of Time and Other Bothers. And we were pretty busy at that point. We were both doing this on the side.
Yeah.
Right. And then I went on a train ride with Christy Bolton. And Civilized was born, and I was afraid to tell you, and I told you, and I think you told me you're not allowed to create any more shows.
Yeah, you came home with this sheepish look as though you'd bought a car or something without telling me.
And so the rule was, you were like, you cannot create any more shows, right? We don't have the time.
Yeah.
Right. So then I created DM to Jam.
Which, thank the gods that Russ, your co-host, does the production work on that.
Yeah. And so then last week, Christy Bolton came over.
And yeah, we're just sort of pitching ideas at each other and we might have another show in the works. Oh my God.
Yeah. So more on that to come. But yeah, we are working on another really cool, fun show. But that that we're actually going to use. We're not going to use, I don't think we're going to use you for the edit and sound design.
Yeah, this is going to be the first Fable and Folly production show that that I'm not sound designing.
Yeah, and I think the reason is I want to make sure we have time for Alba because everyone's waiting, and I think that's important. So we have a system now where we can manage Alba, and we can manage Alba and Axe and Crown and Civilized in our internal shows. And I think, yeah, I think it's a smart decision for us is to be like, hey, let's
start delegating. Cause yeah, I got into doing audio fiction because I like doing all the different things. I like doing music and sound design and writing and even a bit of acting and stuff. But at some point you got to learn to let go. Working on Well has been a real eye opener because the way they do it, they turn out 12 episodes a season by having a writer's room full of writers and a stable of sound designers that work on it. Yeah. So that there is not one person who is the bottleneck for the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's an important thing for us to learn. But yeah. So there might be another show coming. It will not be sound design, but Eli. I might be in it, which will be cool.
I think I might have a sound, theme tune for
it. Oh, nice.
Already done.
Oh, you should send that to Christy. She will lose her mind.
Yeah.
She would love that. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Please let us know. Reach out to us on Twitter. There's a bunch of Twitter handles, at Alba Salix, at Fable and Folly. Reach out to us on our website. Join our newsletter. Whatever. And just let us know what you think of these behind-the-scenes episodes. And we want to thank Aweber for being our partner and being so supportive and for enabling us to create this episode. Thank you, Aweber.
Yeah.
And yeah, so hopefully we will be in your ears soon with a mini Alba episode soon after that.
It'll be a surprise for everybody concerned.
And soon after that, the season that we cannot wait. I think it's going to be our best season yet.
It's going to be a ride. I am so looking forward to it.
And so once again, thank you all for being with us and continuing to be our fans and our listeners and to give us all your support that you do. It means a lot. Every friend you share Alba with, every tweet, every email, it all matters. Thank you.
It so does. Thanks again.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Space, multiverse, stars. One stars. One star reviews. Join Negative Nancy and Chatbot aboard the Space Windu as they bring you the worst one star reviews from all across the universe.
I'm supposed to say that we promised to bring you the very best one star reviews from all across the multiverse. But you know what? I don't believe it. I don't believe that for one second.
I'm rating my driver Marcus one star. Not for his driving ability, but instead for his disloyalty and cowardice.
Lackluster moon vacations. A can of beans. Abandoned malls. Cat beds that don't come in human sizes. Dragon stuff. Come have a laugh back at the one-star reviewers. Listen to the one stars wherever you get your podcasts.